hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads where bandits are. Catacombs and giant doors protect the chest that stores some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's a grand theft of Elder Scrolls, Simon's Quest with Toe and Earl, rocket shoes to Everclue, Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash a crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues. Yes, y'all.
Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. You can also go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Head on over to Spotify. Give us some spins. If you got some time, maybe on the treadmill. Getting your body tight and get your mind right too. Get some control issues in your ear. Twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. Drop us a line anytime you feel like it, just to say, hey, tell us what's on your mind. controlissuespod@gmail.com. And lastly, we're on Blue Sky, so you should get on Blue Sky and check us out. AMC, how you living?
Well, A-Dub.
Yes, took a week off. Welcome back, sir.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. Took a week off. What, we had Easter.
Yeah.
Easter weekend. So, you know, I had a birthday alongside Easter weekend. So it was just kids and eggs and candy just everywhere. So much Easter.
Ooh, just frivolous with that spending on eggs.
Yeah, so much. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, no, we didn't do eggs. We did candy and plastic, unlike some motherfuckers trying to spend our tax dollars on tradition.
Forgetting what the true spirit of Easter is, which is putting dollars in eggs and hiding them in the yard. Making kids go fetch it.
So much Easter, so couldn't record last week, but it was all good. It was super busy, so it's nice to take some time off, come back, hopefully have a ton of news in the bucket to pull from, which we have, and so it is nice. So over the past, 2 weeks, not much other than watching a ton of NBA, so the playoffs have started. We are officially in the first round, and this is, like, my favorite week. It used to be weekend. Now it's just week. But it used to be my favorite weekend of sports, which is the opening weekend for the NBA playoffs, because it's 8 teams on both sides, so 16 teams, and just 8 games back to back to back to back. So 4 games on Saturday, 4 games on Sunday, and then after that, there's 3 games every night of the week. So you have your choice of teams to choose from, and it just keeps going, and then teams get eliminated, and it gets a little less and less. But right now, I'm in basketball content heaven, just fucking basketball. I've been listening to podcasts talking about basketball, then watching basketball again. Yeah, just all up in there. And then while that's going on, it was also a big week for wrestling, and that WrestleMania happened last week. So that it was just all happening on Easter weekend. But yeah, WrestleMania happened. That was also a good time. Not my favorite WrestleMania, but it was a good time. It was funny. I my judgments of it have to do with, like, the build to it. I wasn't really a fan of the stories that they were setting up. I feel like they hadn't given enough time to some of the major stories, and so they just weren't as engaging leading into WrestleMania as the previous years. And I get it too, in that, like, the last year's WrestleMania, there was just this whole bloodline story going on with The Rock and Roman Reigns that was carrying things, and they got away from that. And so they're now in a transition period away from the bloodline. So they got to build it back up, and they use this time to handle John Cena's retirement. And so he had the heel turn at Elimination Chamber, gets his opportunity at WrestleMania to win the belt. If he wins the belt, he becomes the most winningest wrestler, heavyweight in history. I believe the previous one was Ric Flair, and so now if John Cena had won, he would pass Ric Flair to have the most title wins of all time, and
Damn.
he ended up winning against Cody Rhodes with the help of your boy Travis Scott coming out. And so that wasn't my criticism of it, even though I was a little bit of a letdown. But I know for the people who went there, so the thing with wrestling is they've been raising the prices of these tickets, and so you'll hear every event like, "Hey, this was the highest grossing event." And it's like, that's interesting because it's not more people, so that means
Yeah, it's definitely not more
they're just
people.
paying. So they're just paying a lot more to be there. And so one of the things that the paying consumer going to the event was looking forward to was that we might get a follow up to this Rock storyline, because the last thing we saw was Elimination Chamber. The Rock comes out, he gives the he slits his throat to John Cena. John Cena turns on Cody Rhodes, and that's what sets up this WrestleMania match. John Cena has the match with Cody. He's doing pretty good. The crowd is actually cheering for John Cena over Cody, even though John Cena's a bad guy. But they were just like, "Fuck it, we love John Cena." And you know how the wrestling crowd gets a little snarky at times. Anyway, so they're cheering for John Cena over Cody. John Cena is about to lose the match, and he's like, he's begging for dear life. And then Cody's like, shows him mercy. Next thing you know, Travis Scott music starts playing. Travis Scott comes out, he distracts situations. Cody Rhodes gets his get back on Travis Scott. That gives John Cena just enough time to get the advantage on Cody Rhodes and then win the belt 1-2-3. And it was all right, but the people who went to it were expecting The Rock to show up, and The Rock did not show up. And so they're upset. I would say maybe understandably, not really, in that I feel like the wrestling community has gotten to the point where they're about their guys, their toys showing up, and so they just want the appearance. They don't care as much necessarily about the wrestling as much as it is about seeing their favorite guys out there. And so with The Rock not being there, it was a little deflating for four people, and there was a little bit of fallout. The Rock had to explain that, this is all about like John Cena's moment. I didn't want to upstage him. for the sake of the story, but people weren't hearing that. And so yeah, there's a little to do with The Rock's lack of appearance at WrestleMania, but all in all, it was an okay event. But now they seem to be building to next year's event, which I think will be the better one. So it's unfortunate for the Vegas crowd, but you had the in-between one, the transitional WrestleMania, and we'll be getting a good one next year. Outside of that, nothing else going on with me. Just had a flat tire the other day. It was some bullshit. At least I got home, and then I go out to my car on Thursday to drive to work. See that the tire's flat. Send that text. Ain't coming in. Give it a day to deal with it. I'm like, I'm just gonna leave this shit flat because I got some stuff to do Friday.
You don't have a spare?
Yeah, I had a spare, but I didn't want to deal with it at that point in time.
Yeah.
I was like, it's in the garage. I just leave it in here. And so yeah, I eventually go, I change it, put on the spare. The spare is flat. It's like
Wow.
the car is old as shit. It's like a 2008, and so I'm assuming that like Marissa had like if she ever used it, it was very rare that she had ever used the spare, let alone stay on top of keeping it inflated. So then that was fucked. But thankfully, my neighbor had a pump, and so I used his. I reached out to Yaw and I was like, "Hey, I'm getting a pump." But
Yeah.
you sent me the recommendation, but I had already purchased one. I got one of those digital ones that also like works as
Yes.
like a battery, so I can charge like my cell phone if I ever need be, and like
Hey,
other
I
shit
want
on
to hear
it.
all about it, man.
Yeah.
Because I'm
So
definitely
yeah.
trying to make an upgrade. Like mine is just a straight up cheap ass, like you see this in every garage kind of portable air compressor.
Yeah. I mean, it gets the job done, as you said. For me, when you said it was reliable, I was like, "God damn, I probably would have gotten it." But I know that this one should work, so it is what it is. So I got one; it's coming on the way, and so I won't have to worry about that anymore. But yeah, it was interesting. It was annoying, but it was kind of you feel good after you like jack up your car and fucking change your tire on it, do all that shit. Like it's like such a pain, but like it was. I got my hands dirty for a day and a half. So I finally,
Make sure the wife and the kids are watching while you do
yeah, look at
it.
this, yeah,
This is
like,
what a real man.
yeah, rub some dirt on myself, just like a grease monkey.
Rubbing your face on the tile.
Just covered in brake dust. Neighbor helped me out, pumped up that spare, drove to the spot, changed the tire. So that is now all taken care of. So that was annoying, but that's, I guess, just some life shit. But hey, Dub, that's enough about me. How have your last 2 weeks been?
Oh, man, it's pretty cool. Like you said, Easter, of course. The week of Easter, like that Thursday when I'm in the office, I'm talking to my boss and I'm like, my family like has a poor communication strategy, or like they just have a poor sense of time. So like I was explaining that to my boss. Fast forward, we get to like Saturday evening and my mom texts me. She's like, hey, you know, just putting some feelers out, seeing what's going on. And I'm like, all right, let me move some stuff around and I'll let you know my availability for tomorrow for Easter. So like 9 a.m. on Easter, I text her and I'm like, hey, I don't have any plans. It is not until like close to 7 p.m. that I finally hear back from her. She's like, oh, well, you know, your brother and your sister and your nephew are over here. So, you know,
oh, they're already over there.
Yeah, already like been over there. Like the kind of thing where like, do you think I'm just like riding around in a 3-block radius, like just waiting on a phone call?
But yeah, anyway, here Ubering in the neighborhood. So I just had
So like I get there about 8:30 because, you know, I just woke up from a nap and needed a shower. So yeah, did that. Went over there, of course, sister and nephew gone. Like watched half a show, ate half a plate, said what's up to my peeps. And, you know, just spent a little time over there. It was late. It's school night. You know how it goes. And got out. But it's just hilarious how talking about that and then it just happens automatically. Like, it took so much of my being to just not be like, you know, this is why I'm not at a lot of the family functions. Because you'd be telling me, like, when you're already there. It's kind of messed up. But whatever, man. Water under the bridge.
Marissa, you know, Marissa all the time would be like, they said to be there at 3. I'm like, we don't need to be there till 5. Like, it's my aunt's gonna bring the majority of the food. She won't be there till 5. If we get there earlier, we're gonna be sitting around doing nothing. like it's just, you know, the you know how the time works.
Yeah.
You know how the time works.
I mean, I wish I had a situation where it was more like that, where I could expect what's going to happen in a prospective manner. Yeah, rather than rather than like, okay, I'm going to be notified at the last moment. Anyway, yeah. So other than that, chilling up, figured out the mental hangup I had with going to the boxing gym, because I completely forgot that I broke my bag, like the shoulder strap. And like every time I'm thinking about going to the gym, subconsciously I know that I'm like, nah, fuck it, I'm gonna just stay here. So I finally replaced the bag and I got some new running shoes that my brother recommended. So I'm looking forward to trying all that stuff out, you know, and had the farewell ritual for the past bag, moved all the stuff over, and now I've got the new bag. Catching up on anime and shows. I'm really into Lazarus on Max right now. It's from the creators of Cowboy Bebop, so it has a lot of that. It has a lot of that style and that overall like mystique about it. It doesn't hit quite as true as Cowboy Bebop does, but for what it is and what it's putting on the table, it's really impressing me, and I look forward to seeing it every week. I think episode 4 just came out, and one thing that particularly stands out to me with this show is each of the, not the theme music with the title in it, the intro before, there's a uniform like soundtrack and overall vibe to the intro of each episode, but each intro is different and it's told from a different character's perspective about the overall situation that they're in and what it meant to them individually. And I think that was a really cool premise. And I love stuff like that where there's just like this kind of air of mystery and strangeness to it all. And each week, it's not just you get another part of the story, but you get another perspective of the story as you go into it. So yeah, I highly recommend Lazarus. The third My Hero Academia movie is on Netflix, so I recommend everyone go watch that. It is an outstanding it is an outstanding project with its animation, the way it tells its story. It's great. So while you're waiting for that final season to come out in October, among other things that we'll talk about in our topic of the week, but but yeah, it's another October surprise that people should be looking forward to. What else was I getting into? Went and saw Sinners with my brother, and that was awesome. Like, I normally don't go to movie theaters to see it, so I don't know what the current movie tech is these days. However, the way that Sinners was shot and shown, like, it wasn't just a letterboxed movie the whole way through. Like, sometimes it would switch to this very like tall and very wide picture where it feels like you're in that scene, and then it would cut back to different formats. And it was an interesting film. I liked all of the tributes and the references to Black music culture, or Black culture in music, or music in Black culture, whichever way you want to say that. It made a lot of callbacks and references to just so many historical touch points in just Black and African music history. So it was nice to see that celebration. Just, see Black folk living, doing their thing. Michael B. Jordan times two. And it was Delroy Lindo. Like, come on, man. And then, but you remember, it's a horror movie. And so it's got all that action and that angle to it. And it was a good time. It was also a pleasant surprise seeing Hailee Steinfeld as like a late 40s, early 50s baddie, bad bitch holding it down. That was my favorite look for her. I didn't even recognize her. So yeah, check out Sinners, check out Lazarus, and you got to check out all these goddamn games that have been coming out in April. It's kind of ridiculous, but that's what we
Yeah, I
finna get
mean,
into.
yeah, it's like some of it's like it's funny how like because of the way certain games are released, like some of what you've been playing is also like could have been the news of the week. Just because it's just that's how it just worked out with this April has been insane. But yeah, let's get into it, A-Dub. You want to talk about what you've been playing? I
What
guess.
have I been playing? Well, I've talked about some of it because like one of them ties into a topic of the week. So I'll hold off on that one. However, I've been playing a bunch of stuff, man. I bought a bunch of stuff. I bought more games this month, like in the past 30 or 60 days, than I buy in most years. And that's just crazy. Because I mean, things like the Days Gone remaster came out, Lords of the Fallen got a 2.0 update that addressed a lot of the issues people had with it. So I have that on the back burner. The Days Gone update, I'm taking a little taste of that. It's just great seeing my man Deacon St. John, my man Boozer, doing the biker gang buddy shit in this just zombie infested world. It looks absolutely fantastic on the pro, very crisp, excellent improvements to the lighting and just the texture quality. Like, it's man, it looks awesome. And it's great to be not only playing this game again, but for it to be exposed to audiences once more, so it can get a more fair shake than it got when it came out last generation.
But the
So I'm
launch.
having a
But the launch.
But the launch, yeah. When IGN dropped that 7 on it, and then people just started running with that as the end all be all judgment of the game. We're like, ah, it's just a 7. It can't be that good. This and that. The UK came through. It sold real well over there, and it sold okay. Then there was that all that Bend Studio drama with, a sequel that may or may not have been pitched and may not have been denied, and the director leaving, or director, like key figures leaving from the studio, and now we got a remaster. But the remaster is awesome, so I highly recommend that. I don't recall if I talked about this on the last show, but I've been playing Mandragora, and I completed that, which I'm was very satisfied with. Like, it's that game, it was just the right amount of game. It was beautifully polished, it stunning visuals, smooth gameplay, tons of secrets, like enough systems, enough loot, and just it was man, it was a lot of it was a lot of area to cover, but they filled in that space appropriately all the way through and just kept a nice even pace from start to finish. So Mandragora, I also recommend that. It's a short game. It's not a $70 game. It's not an $80 game. So, you know, if
$90
you're,
game.
it ain't a $90 game either. It's not a $100 game, but it's a great game. I highly recommend it. People should get into that. You know, I still touch on Assassin's Creed Shadows from time to time. I'm trying to prioritize the story. However, it's starting to get buried in the backlog as I work through these more recent games. Another one that I played that kind of flew under the radar is called Post Trauma. And this was a game we saw a while ago in like one of the showcases, you know, n not too long ago. I think we saw it this year for the first time, and now it's out. You're basically this kind of overweight, old kind of subway security man, but this crazy, like supernatural something is just taking hold of the area. You're the only person that's there, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. So it's a survival horror game. It's puzzle driven with a little bit of combat. You know, so far I've only ever fought one thing, and it's like I said, he's an overweight like security guard, doesn't even have a gun. You have to find one at some point. So this dude, he has no weapons. I think I went through the first act with a crowbar, and like your man does not have combos. He is not athletic. His sprint is a light jog, and when he swings with all his might like one good time, and then you gotta move and get ready for your next swing. But it all works together very well. The best part about the game to me, other than it's just overall horror and spooky aesthetic and art direction, because they nailed that to a T. But it's as you progress through the game, like the little steps, the incremental steps toward the larger goals, the level changes to acknowledge the things that you're doing. Like I was going down a hallway, and there was a vending machine like stuck between the walls up near the ceiling. So I went there, like pulled something out of it, and then the vending machine fell. So then I come back, find another way around. Now the vending machine's down, and then I can get something else out of it. And then that lets me go interact with like this locked room or this window where I can snake a cable in and get a fuse, and like, you know, you're going through the subway, and you see all these mannequins in the tunnels to either side. And then as you're figuring out the puzzle and figuring out the codes and things to get the doors open, the mannequins start filling it in even more. You're like, oh shit, it's going down. And it's like they do very well with balancing the tension and just escalating the fear until the eventual encounter. You do your combat thing, and you move on. So it's got a lot of different elements going on to it. It's a very simple game, but it's got enough going on to keep anybody interested. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I look forward to streaming it. So I'm going to start a brand new playthrough and stream that once I put down the big one that I've been playing, which is Clair Obscur Expedition 33. This is coming from Sandfall Interactive. This was the surprise darling of the showcases leading up to its release, because it was this unbelievably fantastic looking turn-based RPG that has these real-time active elements during combat to make it more engaging and challenging. So that's finally released. And I gotta say, AMC, this game is far exceeding my expectations of it. It's just jaw-droppingly beautiful because not only is it in a region that hasn't been portrayed a lot in games. I mean, the Saboteur, I think Assassin's Creed Unity, they all went to Paris, France in some way or form. But this one, like, it's not just France. It's like a fractured version of it that's just so creative and expressive with all its different colors and all the structures and things that have taken it over. Like, it's beautiful, but it's also cursed and blighted and twisted and like mesmerizing but frightening. It's so many things all in one. Like the Eiffel Tower is like twisted into kind of a spiral. There's like floating islands. Everywhere you look, there is some kind of element that makes no sense but looks like it belongs there perfectly. So I'm in this game, of course, party base, you have three people with you. So far, I have four that I can choose from on the combat. So, it has those active elements. But when I finally got a hold of it, first I put it on the highest difficulty of the three that are there. And I got in the tutorial fight and was just getting my ass destroyed. I backed it down to the normal difficulty. And then just after a few more losses, I finally understood the timing on a basic level to where, like, no, you really have to dodge and parry out there if you want to have a chance of succeeding in this game, even on the normal difficulty. So once I got that system, like it feels tight. Like the windows are very small, but you can hit them. It's not like, if you have some amount of gaming timing at all, you should have no problem being able to adjust to the windows and the combos. And in a way, it's kind of like a turn-based Dark Souls. I mean, you do the whole, you're progressing, you're moving, you do the whole bonfire thing where you find the flags of past expeditions as you explore the world that respawns to enemies. You see the enemies running around in the world, you touch them, and of course you go to the turn-based section. But like, yeah, man, it's like you're building combos. Each character has a different set of skills and a different play style hook that you got to kind of like build up not only the character and how you want them to behave, but also the various skills of which you can only bring six for each character in the battle, and you plan those according to how you want to get to like your big damage dealers. Like you got free aim with your weapons. Like you could shoot weak points on enemies, you could shoot flying enemies, you could pepper shots in before you do combos. And like there's all kinds of gameplay mechanics that are associated with that. Like if you're just not on top of it, if you're not If it's great. It's awesome. Like I've been looking forward to playing this game ever since I got it and I put in long hours on it. It's doing everything I needed to do story-wise, like the worlds, while they aren't massive and expansive or like have too many interconnecting paths, they still have a lot of exploration. You're finding simple things that help you gear, equipment, hairstyles, outfits, and things. And also the Pictos, which are basically, do you remember in Final Fantasy XII, like they had the Gambit system where you would equip certain like instructions and conditions on characters so that when their AI took control in battle, if certain conditions are met, they would act in certain ways. Well, in this game, it's not like you're telling the character what to do, but you're structuring the way that the character reacts to the flow of battle. And over the course of the game, you get various ones of these, and they're also attached to stats. So you have to equip some in order to boost your characters, like their hit points, their defense, that kind of stuff. But after four successful battles with one equipped, then you've learned it for the entire team. So then you can use these other points you have to then equip even more of those conditions. So you can really build a character to respond according to those shifting circumstances in battle. So Yeah, I'm not going to hold you too much longer on this because I don't want to spoil anything substantive when it comes to like the story and mechanics or anything. Like, I've made it to Act Two. I've been all over the overworld, and there's a whole lot more for me to discover. I got the big homie that you can fly on, but he can't fly yet. I just got him swimming, so I still got to get him flying and figure out what other abilities he might have. And yeah, man, the story is doing things. Like, they are pulling no punches. This shit is as peaceful and lighthearted as it can be. It can also be very gritty and grueling and brutal. This game is a lot of things I did not expect it to be. It is definitely the biggest surprise so far of 2025. I look forward to playing more. There's a bunch of streams on twitch.tv/controlissuespod if you're interested. And I just, it's been a long time since I played this game, played a game with this kind of combat system where every fight I'm feeling like I'm in it. I'm watching everybody's moves. I'm getting my parries. I'm getting my counters in. And it's thrilling to win encounters in this game, even the most mismatched ones, and especially the ones where you seem to be punching a bit above your weight. Like, I even got a trophy just I was in the zone one night and I got a trophy for defeating a boss without taking any damage. So I'm very, very proud of that. However, AMC, what have you been playing?
Not a lot. Mainly been it's been a lot of NBA, as I said earlier, and wrestling. So I didn't really get a lot of gaming in over the past 2 weeks. But when I did get some gaming in, there's the usuals, the Stardews. Been helping out Theo every now and then. He's like just still in his Kirby kick, so helping him out. He's pretty much beaten. He beat the early part of the campaign, but there's like kind of the continuation, and then it's a harder version of everything that he did before, and so he's now playing through all that. So I'm helping him out there. But the main game that I've been focusing on, because I thought I was at the end. Apparently, I was far from it. And that being Live Alive, because I got to the point where I was. So I played through all the character stories. This is somewhat spoiler for people who want to play Live Alive, so you can like skip ahead like 10 minutes and play through every character story, and then another character becomes available, play through that character story, and that ends in an interesting way, and then the game continues. And so I thought after that character story was done, the final character, I thought the game was done. So I was like, fuck yeah, I'm about to beat this game, because I was at the very end with that character. Let alone find out that things kind of take a turn, and then the game continues, and now there's this final, I guess, chaos realm where you have to, I don't know if you have to play through with every character again, but they do give you options of characters to play with. And when I say like Live Alive has done things that I've just like I'm still shocked at all times by where this game decides to like go as far as like the story and what they'll do with the story and just the different gameplay aspects that like that vary from story to story. But yeah, so I'm in this chaos realm. I can play as any of the characters. I play as that final character that I played as, because his story, as I said, had like an interesting end to it. And as I'm playing it, I get to play as every boss of the game, because I'm playing
Right.
out the bad ending of the game by playing this character. It was interesting. So I play all that, and I kind of see how the game would look if the bad guy won the game. So that was kind of fun, because I got to replay every boss battle but as the boss against the characters, the heroes that I played as. So it's all their perspectives. And then I finally do like the final win as the big bad, and then I kind of get to see how things turn out from his perspective or its perspective. And then so I did that, and then I go back in, and now I'm playing as the normal, I guess, the other guys, or one of the other guys in this chaos realm, and it's like a straight up fucking now RPG, whereas all the other ones were kind of individual stories. It's now I'm playing as one character, and I'm going through and I'm finding all the other characters I've played as so that we can then go and battle the final boss. So all the stories were fractured before, now it's all together as one. And Yeah, and hopefully when I beat it this time, I won't have to play as all the other characters again. We will see. But I literally thought I was done with this game, and now I'm learning that basically through the feature of multiple endings based on each character that you decide to play as for the final Chaos Realm, it adds like a whole another layer to the game. And so I'm playing through all that, and it's such a good time. But man, I thought I was done with this game. Far from it. And now I'm just pushing through it because the good thing is I have, I think, until mid-May until Doom comes out. And so that was really, I'm
Oh,
kind
you
of
have
like,
like 2 weeks.
what is it? May 15th?
I think it's May 8th.
Is it?
I may be wrong
Let me check that.
because I know Imperial comes out on May 13th.
May 13th. Yeah. So, yeah, I got about like 2 weeks to get
Yeah,
to it.
two,
So,
three. You got some time.
yeah. So, trying to put down Live Alive until then. I'm in that. After I beat Final Fantasy VII Remaster, I was in that filler space of like, all right, I'm going to play some games, but I don't want to pick up a new game before Doom comes out, which is the only reason why I haven't played Expedition at this point. So, yeah, I'll be playing this. I'll hopefully have it beat before Doom comes out. And then when Doom comes out, I'm going to lose my mind. But yeah, just really loving the shit out of Live Alive. It's just, man, I did not expect this game to. This game just keeps coming with different twists and turns. Like, it's so unique for a game that came out so long ago. Like, I don't understand how. I'm like, was this really all in the original game? Just because there's so many different people who worked on it, and because each character kind of has a different developer, it has its own unique feel to it, and then to have it all brought together in the end, is just a very, it's like a collective way of developing a game, and then to then have it all come together in the end with all the characters, as one band, it's a very unique way to a unique take on a JRPG, and so yeah, it's a good time, but that's all I have to say here. We got so many topics as Adub alluded to, so we will take a break and we will come back with our first topic of the week.
Top
Top topic
topic of
of
the
the
week.
week. All right, we are back. Adub, you want to lead us off with that first topic of the week?
Top topic of the week. Don't mind if I do. AMC, building on the what have you been playing? Just gonna go straight this easy in before the road starts getting too bumpy. Expedition 33. Got some stats for you. First off, game has moved 500,000 copies on the first day. But it don't stop there, AMC. Because Expedition 33 has officially moved 1 million copies in its first 3 days. Days, days,
Days.
days. Yes, and your man A-Dub gets to be a part of that crew. So I'm glad I could help Sandfall Interactive reach this milestone. They posted it on their Blue Sky account, Kepler-Interactive. 1 million copies sold. Got the confetti around your man Gustav, looking svelte, looking nice, and not much else going on with there. There's no write-up. There's no victory lap. Just hey, this is where we are. Keep enjoying the game. AMC, knowing that Clair Obscur Expedition 33 is a success, some might say a smash hit, and a highly rated, high quality, unique, original JRPG inspired turn-based experience. Are you going to be getting in sooner than later?
No, nah, I'm waiting until Doom comes out. But
Sticking to your guns, literally.
yeah, I'm not gonna, yeah, a game doesn't start selling well, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna change everything I had planned because people are buying a game.
Yes.
Nah, I got my plans. But yeah,
And
it's great to hear.
sometimes when stuff is when stuff is popping, people are like, you know what? Let me get in and see what all the fuss is about.
Let me be part of the conversation real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, but I will say, happy about that to hear the sales are doing well. Because as you said, it's a new studio. People didn't know what to expect as far as they knew that the game looked well. But when you don't have, a resume to draw upon to be like, all right, this is kind of an expectation that we can kind of have for them. Yeah, there's kind of an excitement at the, I guess, the visual fidelity of it. But then the question is, but do they have the goods? Is this going to come out, be a buggy mess? Is this going to come out and not be as deep of a game as we as we hope it will be. And to hear that it came out and then not only sold well, but it is reviewing well, which is just as important. That's a great thing. And I would say too, this is they are living kind of the dream as far as new studio. So you're taking a chance. We need that money. We need that money up front to just in case. So they got that Game Pass bag, which works out. Then on top of that, which is always the worry, was that, well, it's on Game Pass. Is this game gonna sell? Well, we get the news now. Game hit 1 million copies in 3 days. So the game is also selling on top of whatever money they got in advance from Microsoft. So for a new studio, this is kind of the dream right now. Like they are doing everything. It's not only do they are they getting the financial success, but it's getting their game is getting into the hands of as many people as possible, which then provides a better opportunity for people to be excited for a second game to come out. And as you said, like this one was a this one we'll see, because you like you said it was around like 30 hours at least it was prophesized to be, but then you're saying it's a little more, you're at like the 30 hour point now, and like you're thinking it might be closer to 40 hours or so.
Yeah,
So
I'm approaching 30 hours. I just started Act Two. It seems like there's still a lot of map to cover. So who knows? We'll see what happens sometimes, how long to beat and all that's very accurate. However, AMC puts forth an interesting theory where perhaps the difficulty settings are factoring into that. But that's another show. That's another topic.
yeah, but yeah, like to basically the point getting at was like it doesn't seem like it's as big and as long as say like obviously like the Baldur's Gates and the Metaphor Fantasios of the world. So maybe this opens up an opportunity now with an influx of cash if they want to do a bigger follow-up sequel to the game. Now that everything is established and they have a devoted fan base, everything is just set up in place for them. And so this is a great news story, because you hear a lot of crap about like studios closing, fears, oh, this game didn't do well. What does this mean for this company and the industry as a whole? And to hear a game come out, a debut game, and to hear it do this well right out the gate, that is promise, because it's another healthy studio in the industry that is full of apparently studios that are on the brink of disaster constantly. So yeah, it's a this is a great positive story, I will say, in a year of, we'll just say, turmoil. Do you have anything else more to say about this game, Ada, before we
I
move on to
mean,
the next
I
topic?
have tons of things to say about this game. I mean, each of the areas is just beautifully designed. Like I said, detail in every direction. The characters are awesome. The voice acting, the writing, going to camp, talking to people, getting to know them, playing records, listening to music. It's just it. There are four as like refined and focused of a game as it is. Like there's not a lot of distractions, there's not a lot of off the beaten paths, but there are secrets, there are paths that loop back on top of one another, and it's just such a breath of fresh air, man. I haven't played anything like this, and it really just captures my imagination, and it feels like I'm playing, a turn-based RPG for the first time all over again, with how it puts its own unique spin on the combat, as well as just being this completely original setting and story. Like it's a truly awesome achievement. I'm real happy for Sandfall, but let's get into the next topic of the week. Topic of
Tech
the
of the
week.
week. We got some numbers,
Oh,
Adef. Some
no, let
numbers
me see the numbers.
coming from your boys at Circana, but more importantly from not more importantly, but mainly from your boy Matt Piscatella. Follow him, follow him, you'll get all the news. He's the man. But yeah, let's get right into this, Adef. This is US only, so with the caveat, but this is March 2025's top 20 best-selling games, physical and digital, not including Nintendo eShop and yada. But most of the games that were sold within the US, the top 20, as collected by your boys at Circana. So the number one game, A-Dub, we got a new one for the month of March. Maybe a shocker to some people, but not to this show. The number one for that month being Assassin's Creed Shadows. 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 New game for the month. We have another new game for the month in the number two spot, MLB The Show 25. We'll keep it
All right.
moving.
Baseball still doing predictably well.
Yeah, still some people like in baseball. This game was at the number one spot for the previous month, that being February, falling to number three, that being Monster Hunter Wild, so still selling. Four, another new game, a dub, WWE 2K25. People wanting to get on the island of relevancy, hanging out with your boy Roman Reigns.
The island, I forgot about that.
The island of relevancy with your microtransactions. Let's see, number five. Another new game, a dub. Oh, we got some co-op action in here. Split Fiction. Fiction. Maybe if they didn't allow you to share it, they would have been number one over Assassin's
Would have
Creed.
been twice as many.
Who knows? That greed.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah, what were you gonna say?
The thing I find interesting about Split Fiction is that it's one of the few games where the further away we get from the release of it, the increase, like the praise is increasing. People
That's
are
amazing.
falling, more in love with it. More people are playing it and just going head over heels for it. It's being regarded as like each level could be someone else's game that they put tens of millions of dollars into. So,
Damn.
these are the kind of things I'm hearing about Split Fiction. It doesn't necessarily make me want to play it any more than I do or do not. However, I've always been down to play it, been waiting on my brother to hit me up, and he hasn't done that. So we'll
I
see
mean,
what's going on.
yeah, it's just like, I'm not going through this entire list, but already we're in April, and we've already gotten Assassin's Creed Shadows, Monster Hunter Wild, Split Fiction. You're playing Expedition 33. We got Doom right around the corner. I mean, it's insane, man.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's insane. But let's keep it moving. Number six, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, 7. PGA Tour 2K25. 8. NBA 2K. Just all the 2Ks all up in this
Yes.
list. Number 9, we got a new game, A-Dub. We got a little bleach action. That being Bleach Rebirth of the Souls. What you know about that?
Little bleach of bleach.
Bleach. Yeah, I was about to say. Number 10, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. It was in the number two spot, so we see a little bit of a drop off from the previous month. Now we're gonna run through these 11. Minecraft, Grand Theft Auto 5, just always selling. EA Sports FC 25, Red Dead Redemption 2, always selling. Madden NFL 25, Elden Ring, always selling. New game,
Damn.
Xenoblade Chronicles X, so new old game, but new game.
New old
Yeah, got another new old game in the 18th spot, that being Suikoden 1 and 2 HD Remaster.
There we go.
Oh, got another remaster that came out. Oh, interesting. 19, Marvel Spider-Man 2, and at 20, EA Sports College Football 25. So we got some details, A-Dub. Assassin's Creed Shadows finished the month ranked first in full game dollar sales on Xbox platforms and second on both PlayStation and Steam. 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 Let's see. Expanding on this, Assassin's Creed Shadows ranked third in US launch month dollar sales for titles in franchise behind Assassin's Creed 3 and Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Holla at your boy. Let's see. MLB The Show 25 ranked as the second best-selling game of March, led all titles in full game dollar sales on PlayStation platforms. So that was your number one game before Assassin's Creed on PlayStation. Tracked
Which
launch
one was
month,
that?
MLB The Show 25 was the
Wow,
best-selling game on
baseball.
PlayStation.
God damn.
They love their baseball on PlayStation. Let's see. Tracked launch month dollar sales of MLB The Show 25 were 23% higher than those of MLB The Show 2024 during March 2024. So selling a lot more copies as well. Let's see. So now we got the we'll do top 10. Yeah, we'll do top 10. Top 10 best-selling games of the year so far of 2025 in the US. Number one, A-Dub still holding it down. Monster Hunter Wilds, that's going to probably be up there for a while. But number two, A-Dub, in its debut month, Assassin's Creed Shadows. Shadows, Yasuke.
Damn.
In a
Now
way.
way.
Now way. Let's see. Three, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. Four, in its debut month, MLB The Show 25. Five, Call of Duty Black Ops 6. Six, WWE 2K25. Seven, Civ 7. Sid Meier's. Eight, MLB 2K25. Nine, PGA 2K25. 10, Split Fiction. 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 All right, some other details. We got some monthly active user news, A-Dub. Let's see. So Fortnite led all titles in monthly active users on both Xbox and PlayStation platforms during
That makes
March.
sense, yeah.
A-Dub, we got a surprise here.
Here we
Dragon
go.
Age: The Veilguard placed 10th on PlayStation, up from 103 in February, thanks to PS Plus. Plus. Plus, people playing that woke edition of
I
Dragon Age. What
definitely
is
downloaded
it?
it. I'm definitely gonna see about it one of these days.
I know I want to play this game. Let's see. PlayStation 5 hardware dollar sales, though it fell 26% year over year, it is still the number one in the market in dollar in unit sales. Xbox at number two. Falling by 9%, and Switch falling by 37% from a year ago. So yeah, people are just like, give us that Switch too, boy, because we ain't touching this shit anymore. So A-Dub, it's with the launch of Assassin's Creed Shadows, a lot of people are like, we don't want to hear about engagement. We don't want to hear about total active users. We want sales.
Show me the numbers.
Show us the numbers.
Pull out your ledger.
So you do know, number one for the month and debuting at number two for the year. So off to a good start. How do you feel about this? These numbers that we're getting so far, A-Dub, for Assassin's Creed Shadows. Shadows. Shadows.
It's just acknowledgement that Ubi made something good. They made what consumers want, and consumers are showing up for it. Another note that needs to be added to Shadows is that it came out on March 20th, so it had less than 2 weeks on the market that month to catapult to number one and to get number two for the year so far behind Monster Hunter. And then another note, just in general, especially with just every month, always talking about all the games that are selling, but just so far in 2025, I can't think of a single game, high profile or otherwise, that has fallen short yet. Like, everything is hidden. Ever since the year started, like, everything is hidden. What, Avowed came out this year.
Exactly.
Avowed came out this year. People love that. Days Gone Remaster, we got Clair Obscur, we got Lords of the Fallen reintroducing itself. That came out a while ago and doesn't really do that. The game I'm playing post-trauma, that hit well. Assassin's Creed Shadows, I think I said Monster Hunter already, but like, just any of the April games, they're landing. Well, April games, all the games released up until April. Just like, games are landing. We're starting the hype train for Outer Worlds 2, and that's looking like it's gonna stick the landing as well, especially visually. Like, we're seeing a lot more Unreal 5 stuff that's out in the wild now, and that's starting to really throw its weight around. Before, we had games like Black Myth Wukong and the like being the only things that really showed off what Unreal 5
Tech
was doing.
demos.
Tech demos, never gonna release, Chinese vaporware, and now we're gearing up for our next wave of Chinese vaporware tech demos becoming new games. I mean, becoming like real games, such as Lost Soul Aside. There's something else in the China Hero Pro. Wushang, Fallen Feathers, that's coming along. And like, all these games people said weren't real, those are being more than real. Like, Black Myth Wukong, tens of millions sold in little to no time. So, resounding successes, great games. But like, we're really starting to see Unreal 5 open up. We're starting to see more projects built on it. It's gonna take a little more time before the development pipeline and optimization get, really dialed into where they're getting the most out of it. But just based on what we're seeing already, it's out of this world. And yeah, man, I mean, just like we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know if I said it on the show, but like we're really in that sweet spot where the generation is finally starting to spread its wings and really take off into its own, because it's just hit after hit after anticipated game after anticipated game after just so many big projects are hitting in such a rapid succession, still waiting for the GTA release date, still in the scope of 2025. despite other things that are going wrong along around it that we'll talk about later. And it's like it doesn't seem like the trajectory is going to slow down anytime soon. It's kind of worrisome because it's being brutal on my wallet, man. It's got to make decisions, got to make choices, but there's games for everybody. Blueprints is out too. Didn't even almost forgot about that. People loving that, saying it's one of the best puzzle games, one of the best roguelikes that there is. Like, come on, dude. 2025 is on fire right now with no sign of going out. So, it's always been a great time to be a gamer, but right now we eating crazy. There's just too much, man. There's too much stuff that's out. There's too much stuff coming out. I don't know how I'm gonna balance my time for the rest of the year. So this is just wild. But it's and even with all this good stuff going on, all these new games coming out, all these new IPs, we still have the tried and true classics of annual releases still topping the charts, still showing up, still being supported. So it's like, for as much as people complain about prices going up, for as much as people threaten to not buy as much as they would if it was $10 cheaper, still selling, still moving. Like everybody still has something out there that's for them, and people are still showing up in big numbers. So this is awesome. I love seeing the industry doing well, man, because that means that we as the consumers do just as well. Let's get in that next topic of the
Topic of the
week,
week, top
topic of
topic.
the week.
Got it, Ada.
Yeah, I'm trying. Oh, yeah. So this was the one I skipped on the what are you playing, because it was kind of a big deal. For weeks now, we've been dealing with leaks and insiders suggesting that there was a big shadow drop on the way. Bethesda was toiling away on something, and they were going to shadow drop it. And that something was the Oblivion remaster. Yeah, so the Oblivion remaster turns out it was real, and it dropped roughly within the time period that people have been speculating for weeks. It dropped, I think, April 22nd, Bethesda hit us with that day before post, showing us some key art, showing us the Roman numeral 4. We all know what that is. And letting us know that they'd be breaking down exactly what it is they were going to be doing with the project. And yeah, they did a lot there. So it's like the game is they it looks like more than a remaster. Like that's the best way to describe it. And it's like it's stretching the limits of what can be considered a remaster or a remake. So it's they figured out a way to run their game engine in conjunction with Unreal 5, like basically instructing Unreal 5 on what to do with its game. And with that, they've been able to improve the lighting, improve the draw distances, improve the performance, improve the assets. By all accounts, Oblivion Remaster looks like a brand new modern game. If you told me it was Elder Scrolls 6, like I'd squint a little bit, but I'd be like, all right, I'm with it. This looks awesome. Let's get down with it. The only drawback there is that underneath it's still Oblivion. So that comes with that age-old jank that we're all used to. Some bugs they left in by choice, mind you. They made that note during the presentation, and some of them are fun, some of them are interesting, but at the same token, it's like a lot of work went into this. I think it really paid off and is an incredible way to reintroduce Oblivion to modern audiences. It runs better than it doesn't. It looks much improved, and it's just awesome. There's a handful of quality of life things going on in there. They've included all the DLC, notably Shivering Islands and the horse armor. I know people are excited about that. And yeah, man, like it's Oblivion but better. And I'm having a blast with it. I'm looking forward to going back to it. I told myself that this time around, with it being presented in this way, that I'm going to push through to the campaign. So I'm looking forward to really digging into that more. I did a little bit of streaming, but I'm gonna do a lot more streaming. AMC, you got to get a look at the Oblivion remaster as well. You and me, like we go back since Oblivion. Like that might have been the beginning of our time, like exchanging ideas on a gaming level. So, how did you feel when you finally saw this come to life?
I love it. It had been leaked to all hell, which is totally fine. I know people try to make it seem like, oh, if a game was leaked, does that somehow ruin the launch of the game? It's like, no, because you're still getting an awesome fucking game that people have been asking for. So who cares if like all the rumors and leaks are out there? It's just good to know that we're getting this game. And I even kind of liked how they did it. They have their event. It's just Bethesda's event. They like wait till a big Microsoft showcase. They're just like, let's just get this out there. And it also kind of makes sense too with Expedition 33 coming out. You might be stepping on the toes of a partner as you're helping market their game on your plat on your subscription service. You don't want to also be like, and we also got this other RPG coming out that you've been looking forward to. So you wait, you shadow drop it. Yeah, Bethesda handle it. They do their thing where we're gonna show you the studio, we're gonna show you the developers. We're gonna show you Todd Howard hanging out with the developers, chilling. And then you're gonna show that glow up, show the differences. And as you're seeing it, you're just like, holy shit, this looks awesome. And I liked how they handled it because they, as you said, they left in the jank. And so there's like I do love a remaster, like Final Fantasy VII remaster. That was like chef's kiss, like remaster, not remaster, remake. That was like a chef's kiss remake. Like everything there was, it was great. It felt different. I like the choices that they made as far as making the combat different and yet still making it great. Even breaking it up episodically and giving each portion of the game more time, but in a way that doesn't feel like they're just dragging out narrative. They're actually filling in a little bit more of the bits and pieces with certain characters a little bit more to give them a little bit more motivation and insight. So it worked out really well with Final Fantasy, but in this case with like remaster, I know there's a lot of people who, when games come out, and especially like a remake, there's like this whole debate of like, well, what's the definitive version of the game to play it as? And remasters make it a little bit easier because you are still getting that OG experience, but with a with some upgrades. And it feels like they took that to heart with this, where it's like we want it to feel like the original Oblivion, but we also want it to look better. And they also changed some stuff with the interface. I believe they did some stuff with the leveling. So they cleaned up some stuff, but yet they left in a lot of the old Bethesda like design in it to give people that original feel. And so it is cool. It's great because you do see some of the ways like things happen in the game, like, oh, that's interesting. But yeah, at the same time, there's a little bit more animation to it. There's a little bit more movement, a little more life to the characters and the models out there in the world. And so it's a good way to still preserve the original so that you could then say that this is like a definitive version of the game to play in the current climate without having to say like, oh, but X, Y, and Z are now gone and it kind of ruins it, the original feel of the game. Like, you go back to George Lucas deciding that Hans, what, shot second over first, and people getting upset about that. It doesn't seem like this game's gonna have any of those issues. And so I'm definitely not upset with their choice to go this way. And looked at some of your gameplay, it looks remarkable while at the same time looking very familiar, and that's what you want in a game like this. It's awesome. It's great. Portal, what, Oblivion gates need to be closed. You got Daedric princesses out there in the world. It's a good time. I'm hoping, as I was saying to you in the pre-show, I'm hoping that we get some of that in Elder Scrolls 6, like some of that Netherworld coming back and, crossing the realms and becoming a threat to whatever is going on in Elder Scrolls 6. But yeah, well, how about yourself, Adub? How you feeling about this game? I know you've been, you got other stuff on your plate, but you did pick it up, so you got it there. So where's your excitement level at for playing this game?
More like leaning toward the high end, but a little bit because it's still Oblivion, don't get me wrong. And I enjoyed that experience quite a bit. It's still just very dated, and I'm loving it. Like it's taking a lot of the heavy lifting off of my imagination and putting it on the screen on my behalf so that I can just sit back and enjoy what I saw in my mind when I played the original Oblivion 20 years ago. For at least like a minute or two, I just stood in awe in front of that first Oblivion gated Kvatch, and it's just the flames rolling around it, the glimpse into that demon realm, like wavering because of the heat, and just, oh man, it's visually the representation that Oblivion deserves. Like it's right, it brings it like right up to about where Skyrim is. The art direction and everything between Oblivion and Skyrim, you're never going to make that up just with tech and assets, but man, it's, if this is the foundation of what is to be the future of Bethesda remasters and remakes, then I am extremely optimistic for what they're going to be bringing out after this, because there's still the Fallout 3 remake or remaster that's on the table. And yeah, if they do to Fallout 3 what they have done to Oblivion, that should be eligible for Game of the Year whenever it releases, because like, dude, that's all Fallout 3 really needed is just, let's clean up these animations, let's tighten up this aim, a couple QOL things, give me better textures on everything. Like if they could make Fallout 3 look like Fallout 4, done. I will never stop singing the praises of that game. So, Oblivion, it did its job. I like that it is appropriately labeled as a remaster. I'll absolutely love the visual glow up. Some other details include like they made combat have a little more feedback, and there's a little more back and forth instead of you just going there and just swinging into the ether trying to do as much damage as you can, because there's a lot more storage on these consoles. They took the opportunity to go in, re-record various dialogue across the different races and the different regions, because back in the day, because the disc was smaller, they were only able to do so much. There was a lot of reused voice actors, a lot of reused voice lines, but now they've gone in and it sounds like it sounds like Cyrodiil. It sounds like you are in this fantasy realm. Man, it's awesome. So this is an excellent outing from Bethesda. I'm looking forward to what comes next, and I'm gonna enjoy diving back into Oblivion. However, AMC, you got our next topic of the week. Topic of
Topic of
the
the
week.
week. You
Oh,
know,
by the
let's.
way, before you get
Yeah.
to it, I think it Microsoft Oblivion 10 million players so far. So it's getting to the people. I mean, I'm seeing people talking about it lovingly on Reddit, on the various forums. I see a lot of people looking past the issues and not talking about the things they dislike, instead focusing on the things that it does well.
Well,
So
that's convenient.
yeah, it's very
That's
nice.
nice.
Yeah. But sorry for interrupting there.
I was gonna actually say, let's take a break and we'll come back with that topic of the week.
We
Ta
wait.
topic of the week. Yes, y'all. Yeah, we are back, A-Dub, with our
Yes,
next
yes.
topic of the week. Top topic of the week.
Of
Let's
the
see.
week.
This one coming from your boys at the PlayStation blog is a big one, man. We finally got a release date. So this is coming from the PlayStation blog. We are so excited to announce that Ghost of Yote comes to PS5 on October 2nd, 2025. Let's see. I'm gonna read a little more in this article. Alongside today's news, we've also released our latest trailer of Ghost of Yote, the Onryu's List. Hope I said that right. 16 years ago, in the heart of Ezio, called Hokkaido today, a gang of outlaws known as the Yote Six took everything from Atsu. They killed her family and left her for dead, pinned to a burning ginkgo tree outside her home, but Atsu survived. She learned to fight, to kill, to hunt. And after years away, she has returned to her home with a list of six names: the snake, the oni, the kitsune, the spider, the dragon, and Lord Saito, the snake, the rat, the cat, the dog.
No.
One by one, she's hunting them down to avenge her family, armed with the same katana used to pin her to that burning tree all those years ago. While Atsu's story begins with vengeance, she'll start on her trail, yada yada, her journey. And then they go into some detail about like some of the gameplay and how the game will work. One of the cool things is that you can have your option of the six to hunt them down in any order as so you choose. There will also be other hunts, and they get into some of those details. But Ada, more importantly, we have finally gotten the release date of Ghost of Yote on October 2nd of this year. So A Dub, you clearing the schedule. You already check it out. Make sure that anything's there, or was anything that was around that going to get moved out of the way regardless?
I mean, it's going to be prioritized when it comes out. Like, I was in the Tsushima. I'm not taking days off of work or anything like that, but when it comes out, that will be the primary focus unless something bigger comes out before I have enough time to finish it. However, yeah, this is very exciting.
You
It's a
think they
few.
would? Do you think if a certain star out there decided, "Hey, we're gonna put out our game on October 2nd," the Sony would move Ghost of Tsushima?
Going by precedent, because if I'm not mistaken, Ghost of Tsushima and The Last of Us 2 were moved when they were coming out as
Oh
well.
yeah.
So I know Sony doesn't fear moving their games around if necessary. I don't know, because we also have to consider Borderlands 4, which is coming out in late September, I think September 23rd. So I doubt that Take-Two is going to, overshadow one of their own projects within its performance period like
Put
that.
it out there
So
to die like that.
yeah, put it out there to that. So I don't think, I mean, they could. October is a Rockstar month. October and April seem to be where they traditionally like to release things, but I mean, Red Dead Redemption was in a June. Red Dead 2 was in October. Sometimes they can buck the tradition, but more often than not, they come back to the April, October kind of releases. So who knows? GTA 5 was a September game, so GTA 6 can be whatever the hell it wants at this point, because it
Move the
really
date up a
doesn't
month
matter.
and
Yeah, it
release it
really
then.
doesn't matter where it comes out. There's going to be grand theft and larceny all up and down the country for people trying to make sure that they have enough money to get into some GTA. However, yeah, man, with Ghost of Yote, though, I will be prioritizing that as much as I possibly can. The only thing that can kind of nudge that out of the way is GTA, because I'll be damned if I'm not playing GTA the moment it's available. I'll be damned if I'm not seeing that all the way through. So, Ghost of Yote, your time might be borrowed. However, you do have some time. So, at least don't worry about that. My dollars are safe with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's a good signal here is maybe publishers are kind of getting tired of waiting on Rockstar to make their move. And so maybe we'll start getting more of that fall lineup announced, as far as maybe the people who are holding off, so they wouldn't have to consider moving their game. So yeah, exciting times coming in October. So now pretty much have my October set up. I have to see what's coming out around that time. I mean, Borderlands is enticing, but I do want to get Ghost of Yote. I didn't get Assassin's Creed Shadow, so I still have that samurai itch. And I'm liking this like Kill Bill take on Ghost of Yote, like Left Me for Dead. Now I gotta hunt down Vivica Fox in front of her kid and everybody else out there. Lucy Liu. Who else? I don't know who else is in that movie. But yeah,
Lucy Liu, Vivica
James
Fox.
Carradine. All their actor names. Like
Michael Madsen.
Michael Madsen, exactly. And then Buck, because he's an asshole. So,
Yes. He got what he deserved.
I'm excited about this. It's kind of getting me, because all really, I want that number one headband feel. And if I'm not, obviously, being that you're the spirit of vengeance, it's not, you wouldn't expect to be the one that's being hunted. You're going to be out there doing the hunting. And so, as a spirit of vengeance, I do like this idea that I have my list of the six. They will all have their own personalities, and it'll be fun taking them down and going through whatever, I don't know if it's investigating or what tasks need to be performed in order to get to those people. And I'm just looking forward to the possibility of those one-on-one sword fights, because that's really what it's all about for me in Ghost of Tsushima. I love the idea of a duel, and they always made the duels look so beautiful in the original Ghost of Tsushima. And so with Yote, if I get that, and I get like some like cherry blossoms, leaves falling in the background as I'm just working my way around the enemy, yeah, it's gonna be so great. So yeah,
Goodness.
I am absolutely pumped. I am excited that we have the October 5th announcement. Do you think they should have saved it for a state of play? We're kind of doing things different these days. How do you feel about the way that they announced this release date?
Well, I commented on a article that was talking about it on the internet. My perspective there, when someone was asking a similar question, was that what they're doing informs us, like what they're doing now informs us of what they're going to do later. So if they gave us a PS blog post with a trailer and a firm release date, then best believe when summer rolls around, that's probably the time we're going to be getting gameplay demos and previews and hands-ons and more substantive information about the structure and the content of the game. So, if they had saved this for that time period, then you're not looking at an October release date. Like you're looking at 2026 maybe. So, this just shows you where we are in the marketing and the hype cycle for the game as we approach its eventual release this coming October. Somebody also floated an interesting theory about GTA 6, but there are also a bunch of other interesting theories and opinions about Ghost of Yote. So we'll tackle both of those in Troll of the Week,
Week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
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 week, week,
week,
week.
week, week, week. Yeah, so today's trolls coming sideways at Ghost of Yote because they missed the boat on hating on Clair Obscur. They don't know how they're going to attack Doom the Dark Ages. And the haters are in shambles, man. I'm seeing positivity just take over and outweigh. Like we're finally reaching that tipping point where not only are these games just sticking the landing consistently all year long, but the communities are responding in kind, speaking up more, and not falling for that bullshit anymore. But here's a little bit more of the bullshit, just so you don't forget where we came from. First show says, more like Ghost of Yo, hell no. Next show says, will it be as boring as the first game? Well, if you're not into samurai and ninjas and sword clashing and Japanese culture, for you, yeah. So Go on, skip it, bro. Next troll says, story looks like one we've seen 100 times already. Well, yeah, we've seen this story 100 times already. I mean, what more could you possibly do with the setting and the circumstances of playing as a wandering sword person? You know, you're either going to be hunting for revenge, or you're going to be hunting for techniques, or you're going to be going to some battle, or you're going to be coming from some battle. There's always some shit going on. That's why whenever you watch the most storied Japanese movies of all time, usually revenge stories, usually combat stories. Like, let's kind of read the room and know what we're dealing with here. Next show says, is Yasuke in this? Next troll says, I can't wait for this game to fail. Sony going to have two fail games while Microsoft selling games like hotcakes.
What's the first fail game?
Concord.
Ah.
The Ghost of Concord will loom large on the
Oh,
remainder of this generation and the beginning of the next.
yeah.
All right,
I
next
even think
troll
about
though.
that. That's two games out within a month of each other, right? With I mean, different, obviously, but because Marathon comes out in September, right?
Oh, forgot about Marathon.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a multiplayer game, but yeah. So
Yeah, it should be a different audience, maybe.
Sony's setting up that fall lineup for sure. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, GTA only fucking with one of
Yeah.
them. He dropped GTA like right in the middle. Anyway, speaking of GTA, here's the troll with the interesting theory. LOL, Sony must have got confirmation that GTA 6 isn't coming out this year. Yeah, man. I meant to talk to you about this earlier, but I've also been hearing on other podcasts and seeing people posting online like there's this theory that the only reason Sony was confident about that Ghost of Yote release date was because they have some insider information about when GTA 6 is coming. And it must not be October. I don't know. Could still be November. Could still be December. Last troll says, LOL, Sony desperate to get a headline.
Desperate by
Desperate to
keeping
get a
people
headline.
informed about their game.
Yeah, building hype for their upcoming release that they'd like to make the money back on. Desperate for a headline. I mean, that's one way to look at it. That's one very pessimistic way to look at it. But I look at it from a different angle where it's more Sony just keeps everything close to the chest and makes their little strategic announcements along the way when they feel it's appropriate, staying relevant, staying in the conversation, staying on people's minds. And that's how you do it. That's how you run a good marketing campaign. AMC, you got anything for these trolls?
Yeah, I mean, these trolls. First of all, it's not like a big, I feel like the moment GTA got announced, people are already saying, it's not coming out till next year.
Yeah, they've been saying that since January.
anybody speculate, it fits into the story, and as that people are just weaving this idea that it's not coming out this year. And who knows, it might not come out this year, but
Yeah.
because people have decided that it might not, that it's not going to come out this year, they're now going to use everything as oh, see,
See,
they wouldn't have announced it
this would have
if
never
they didn't.
happened.
So I mean, and really what we know is Rockstar is going to do whatever the hell they want to do, and so we kind of just sit back and we wait for this game to come out. So yeah, I wouldn't fall too far into the conspiracy theories as far as what this means for GTA and its release date. They could just be like, fuck you guys, we're putting it out the same day as Call of Duty. And
God
I feel like they would
damn.
both, and I feel like they would both
God
sell.
damn. Oh,
I feel like they would both sell regardless, just because people are getting Call of Duty no matter what, and people are getting GTA no matter what.
don't know, man. I feel like GTA might put its thumb just right in Call of Duty's eye in that one.
Nah, that's because I feel like the PvP people who are all about esports and all that stuff, they're not going to be like, well, I'm giving up my esports career so I can play GTA. Like
Very
there's a
true.
seg There's a segment of people who are just diehard Call of Duty people. Like there's going to be crossover between the crowds, but I think GT like Call
But
of
they
Duty
have
is one of
enough
those.
dedicated players.
Yeah, and also it's just like when somebody kind of already has an expense penciled in to their budget, and I think that's what Call of Duty is for people annually, is like I get Call of Duty every year, no matter what, when it comes out. And so I think that's ultimately I feel like they could. Rockstar could say, "Ah, we're gonna do November," and things would probably actually shake out better because then it would allow a lot of other people to just be like, "All right, October and September is when we're getting everything out, so that we can avoid that month of November altogether." And maybe they do. You think Rockstar would do the dreaded December release
Dude, I'm sitting here right now thinking,
that
like, what if they dropped it Christmas Eve?
I know, right? Like, because everybody talks about like, oh, games don't sell in December. It's like I think GTA would buck that trend like completely.
I mean, even if they got to end up being the only game that ever sells in December.
exactly.
Like, it would be absolutely insane if they dropped it just somewhere right before Christmas. That would be nuts. Everybody's wish list. That's everybody's gift for Christmas.
Yeah, everybody. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm glad that we have a release date now. We have a little bit more of the information. Yeah, the people saying that we've heard this story before. First of all, we've heard every story before. Like at this point in time, like society culture has been crafting narratives so far back that you then get a book like Hero, was it Hero of a Thousand Faces, where it's like, hey, have you noticed that all these cultures that haven't connected are all telling the same story? And so, yeah, I think that's, I think you shouldn't be shocked when you hear a similar story because that's just how life works at this point. And
I
it'll be
mean,
fun.
if it wasn't a good story, we wouldn't have heard it so many times already.
Yeah. And
Troll.
then, yeah, troll of the week.
Troll of the week. Troll of the
Troll of the
week.
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
week.
week,
Troll of the week. Wait,
week, week,
week,
week,
week,
week, week,
week,
week.
week, week, week.
Yeah, that's funny. But people are gonna hate, haters gonna hate. Do you have any quick hits, a dub, before we get out of here?
Just one last bit on Ghost of Yote. Wow. I'm looking forward to hunting down and murdering all six of those people in just the most skillful and flawless manner possible. I'm interested in what else there's going to be besides hunting down and killing them. Like, so I imagine that process, hopefully it's like a robust, like meaningful, varied process. But at the same time, especially coming off of Assassin's Creed Shadows, it's like one circle of six guys is cool. 16 circles of anywhere from like three to nine guys, that's even better, because it's just a lot of different groups and motives and little stories and reasons to explore all over there. Like, I'm sure this game is gonna have plenty of stuff for you to collect, plenty of places for you to go and see the sights, learn techniques, practice your music or whatever art your character does in this game, practice your sword play. But primarily, like, I want to follow the foxes, follow the wolves, if that's what's going on in this one, and just like really do engaging stuff, even some of the more mundane things, like maybe go sit and just watch your character eat food with the rest of the people as just the city life goes by, or chilling in the hot springs with the monkeys and doing Japanese stuff all day long, just luxuriating in the peaceful times of those very tumultuous circumstances that they lived through in feudal Japan. So, that's just it. So I'm looking forward to the info blowouts, the gameplay reveals that go more in depth, providing additional detail. And yeah, but so far, yes, Ghost of Yote, that is a must play, must have day one. I'm totally there. And that's not going to change regardless of what I see or don't see. So yeah. Insofar as additional quick hits, I think I'm good. We got all the big stuff. We're optimistic about the future, especially since this year is off to such a fantastic start. AMC, you're being selective, but your selections are remaining of the highest quality, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I can't wait. Got Doom. Got Expedition 33. Got Ghost Yate at the end of the year. Mixing something else in between that. Yeah, this is cracking up to be an awesome year. And oh,
I
I'm not
can't wait
even
for your
like,
feedback on Expedition 33, man.
yeah, and like I keep forgetting as I'm like lining up all these games that I will have a new console too somewhere in the midst of all this with those games as well. So it's gonna be out of control. I cannot wait. It's shaping up to be one of those years that are like just unforgettable when you just look at like what you played, what you got, the different hype cycles surrounding those things. Yeah, man, it's nuts. That's all I got there. A dub, you got any final words before you get out of here?
No, I think people are finally starting to get the picture, so I'm gonna let you go in peace.
All right, well, this is Control Issues. I am they MC.
This is A-Dub. We are Control Issues. Thanks for playing.
Sucker.